excuse. But if such a kanishta associates with a madhyam adhikar or a madhyam bhakta, he can gradually become elevated and gradually achieve the ultimate goal of prayojana or love of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained on the path of bhakti, which is the supreme most of all treasures, there is two divisions. There is Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means when we still have material attachments, we follow very, very strictly the rules and regulations given by the previous acharyas. Through the state of anartha nivritti, until our heart becomes truly cleansed of all material aspirations and attachments, then one can properly enter into the mood of raga, or spontaneous love, which is beyond the rules and regulations of various restrictions of our mind and senses, because at that time there is simply no consideration of material sense enjoyment. Or when we come to that point of nishta and then ruchi, our mind and senses cannot go anywhere away from the lotus feet of Krishna, service to his lotus feet. And in that state of consciousness, we are constantly chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And following the principles of sadhana in that level of raga, raganuga, gradually we achieve the level of bhava, and then prema, pure unalloyed devotion to Sri Krishna, which is life's ultimate goal. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in very great detail to Sanatana Goswami the glory of life's ultimate goal, to be an intimate associate and servant of Krishna in the spiritual world. And even while living in this world, to act in that capacity. Srila Prabhupada taught us that in this world, the greatest service to Krishna, the greatest expression of our love to Krishna, is to give Krishna to others, to spread the glories of the chanting of Krishna's holy name. After hearing these sublime teachings, which we have very, very feebly attempted to summarize today, Sanatana Goswami, with such a grateful and loving heart, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, whatever I have instructed you is just a drop from the unlimited ocean of Krishna's glories. That even Ananta Shesha with his thousands of hoods cannot glorify enough the path of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami begged the Lord that you kindly give me your blessings by which I can be empowered by you to understand these teachings and to propagate these teachings to others. And upon hearing this prayer, Lord Chaitanya placed his hand on Sanatana Goswami's head. He said, I hereby empower you to understand these teachings perfectly and to propagate these teachings to others. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami to go to Vrindavan to reestablish the holy places of Krishna's pastimes. He said, many devotees will be coming to Vrindavan, build beautiful temples to facilitate them and to show them the true practice of deity worship. And by your own behavior and through your writings, teach them the true conduct of a real Vaishnava, how to achieve the perfection of life, and extract from the Vedic literatures how bhakti is the ultimate. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain to Sanatana Goswami what should be contained in his various books. The conduct of devotees, all the principles of how to worship the deity, how to observe various festivals like Janamastami or Radhastami or Govardhan Puja, how to observe Ekadasi. In great detail, Lord Chaitanya gave instructions to Sanatana Goswami. One day, Sanatana Goswami fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he asked him, that I have heard that you explain the Atmarama verse to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Can you explain it to me also? And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, I am just a madman. I do not know what is the Atmarama verse. I am just a fool. But since you have asked, I will try to explain. And then he explained the Atmarama verse, I think, well, 61 ways he explained the verse. Beautiful, beautiful narration. In essence, the Atmarama verse is very important because it proves that even the most highly liberated souls are attracted to Krishna. Even the four Kumaras who are in the perfection of the state of Brahmananda Mukti, when they saw the beauty of the Lord and smelled the fragrance of the tulsi leaves decorating his lotus feet, they just completely forgot what is this pleasure of Brahmananda, and they surrendered to the service of the beautiful form of Govinda Krishna. And how Shukadeva Goswami also, he was a liberated soul. He had achieved mukti even before entering into the womb of his mother. And he had no interest to come out of that womb. But when he heard the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan from his father, he immediately became a bhakta and surrendered his life to propagating the glory of Krishna's form and Krishna's holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained how a person who achieves such a rare and pure state of love for Krishna, he is truly the well-wishing friend of all living beings. And he described the story of Magrari. One time Narada Muni was walking through the forest, and he saw so many innocent, helpless animals suffering with arrows in their bodies in various ways that they did not die. They just suffered. So he was wondering, who is so cruel? Then he came upon the hunter, Magrari. He said, who has done this? Magrari very proudly said, it is I. It is our family tradition. We half kill animals and we enjoy watching them flap in pain. Some people are like this. It's actually an ego that I have the power to kill you. I have the power to make you suffer. You are under my control. So Narada Muni explained to Magrari, he actually gave him a vision of his future karma, where every animal he ever made suffer was coming and causing the same suffering to him. And Magrari became very afraid. Magrari. So he said, what can I do to atone for this? He said, give up killing. How will I give up killing? But Narada convinced him. He said, you break your bow. Magrari broke his bow. And Narada Muni told him that you must be a kind, humble servant to every living being and cause no harm to anyone. And you must always take shelter of chanting Krishna's holy name and worshipping Krishna. So he did that. And sometime later, Parvat Muni and Narada Muni were passing through that forest, and they came upon Magrari, and he came to offer obeisances to his guru, but as he was walking, some little insignificant ants were on the path. So he very humbly and respectfully stopped to wait for the ants to pass and help them along very carefully. And Parvat Muni said, "This is the glory of a Vaishnava like Narada Muni. Even a hard-hearted, cruel killer like Magrari now will not even hurt an ant because he has tasted the sweetness of love of God." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described to Sanatana Goswami all of these wonderful teachings of the purpose of life, Krishna, service to Krishna, and love for Krishna. And he instructed Sanatana Goswami for 2 full months . And after he instructed Sanatana Goswami, it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar were always in distress because everyone in Varanasi were Mayavadis. Everyone. There was only one Paramananda, and there was a Maharashtrian Brahmin, and there was Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, 4 Vaishnavas in the whole city. And everyone else was saying, "Krishna's body is an illusion, Krishna's form is Maya, Krishna's pastimes are Maya, Krishna's name is Maya." And the leader of all of them was Prakashananda Saraswati. And he had thousands of disciples. So one day, they all came. Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar came to reveal their distress that you're going to leave us and now we're alone with all these Mayavadis. Nobody wants to hear about Krishna. Everyone simply blasphemes you and blasphemes the chanting of Krishna's name. And Lord Chaitanya's heart became very soft for his devotees. And just at that moment, the Maharashtrian Brahmin, he came, and he was thinking that Prakashananda Saraswati is the leader of this whole city. And he's always blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. If he could only once see him and hear from him himself, he will be delivered. So he made a plan. He would invite Prakashananda and all the sannyasis to his house for lunch, and somehow he would try to convince Lord Chaitanya to come. So when he invited Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, who never would accept such invitations because he would never associate with materialistic people or people who were against the service of the Lord, he accepted the invitation. And this is a great history. Lord Chaitanya came to the Maharashtrian Brahmin's house, and he came little late. Prakashananda Saraswati and all the other big scholars of the school of Shankar were sitting on a raised platform. And Lord Chaitanya came to the place where they washed their feet. And after washing his feet, he sat at that place. And then from his beautiful golden form, he began to emit the Brahma Jyoti, knowing that the Brahma Jyoti attracts Mayavadis. So they saw this beauty. And Prakashananda Saraswati said, "Please, Your Holiness, come and sit with us." And Lord Chaitanya said, No, I am not qualified to sit with you. You are big scholars and I am just a simple person." So Prakashananda Saraswati came down and took him by the hand and brought him to the raised platform. And just by that process, which is called Agyata Sukriti, unknowingly, he rendered service to the Lord and said something good about him. And that was the beginning of the end of his illusion. If somehow or other anyone even unknowingly renders some service or says something good about Krishna or his devotees, it's the end. Their connection to Krishna is established. And it's just a matter of time till Krishna takes away all their illusions and they are dancing and chanting Krishna's holy name. Prakashananda Saraswati asked Lord Chaitanya, "You are a sannyasi like us. You are in the Bharati Sampradaya. This is a very esteemed position. Why do you not come to our institution and study Vedanta with us? That is the purpose of a sannyasi. You are with all these sentimental people, all these low-class people and women and everything, and you're just chanting and dancing like a madman all the time. You give this up and be a real sannyasi." And Lord Chaitanya told them that my Guru Maharaj told me that I was a fool, that I should not try to study Vedanta because I'll never understand it, but rather I should constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And I started chanting. And then tears started coming from my eyes and my hair started standing on end and I began to tremble and I was becoming mad. And I ran back to my guru. I said, "What's happening to me?" He said, "You have achieved the perfection of love of God. You go on chanting Hare Krishna and you propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world." And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the philosophy of Vedanta to Prakashananda Saraswati. And completely devastated all misconceptions that they had, defeated all of their ideas. And at the end of this conversation, Prakashananda and all the Mayavadis surrendered at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all became devotees, and all accepted the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After this, all the people of Varanasi were all followers of Prakashananda. They were just talking and talking. What happened? What is this? Who is this Lord Chaitanya? He's made Prakashananda into a bhakta. So they all wanted to know. They all wanted to hear. So soon, thousands of people were coming to see Lord Chaitanya. And then tens and thousands, and then hundreds and thousands. And Lord Chaitanya was instructing them all, worship Krishna, chant Krishna's holy names, and give Krishna's names to all. And he began to instruct them in the science of devotional service. And in this way, everyone in Varanasi became a devotee. And when Lord Chaitanya would go to bathe in the Ganges, hundreds and thousands of people would be gathered around just to see him. And when he would go to the Vishwanath Kashi Mandir to see the beautiful form of Lord Shiva, hundreds and thousands of people would make rows and just let him pass by and just be watching him and offering their obeisances to him. And as Lord Chaitanya saw every person, he gave them the same instruction. Always remember Krishna and always chant his holy name. One day, one of the principal disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati, he was in a meeting with all the big sannyasis and so many of the townspeople, and he began to explain that Lord Chaitanya, he is Vishnu himself. Otherwise, how could he explain Vedanta the way he does? Everything that he said is perfect. Shankaracharya, he has rejected the theory of transformation and he has propounded the theory of illusion. And in this way, he has interpreted the scriptures in such a way that people are not inclined to surrender to Krishna through the process of devotion. But Lord Chaitanya has established the real path, and therefore we must all follow him. And Prakashananda Saraswati, upon hearing his disciple, he began to glorify Lord Chaitanya. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was at the temple of Bindu Madhava, and there were hundreds and thousands of people there dancing in ecstasy. And their greatest joy was they were all watching the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya dancing. As the tumultuous sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was resounding throughout all directions, Lord Chaitanya was dancing and tears were flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. He was perspiring. His voice was faltering. And there were eruptions in his body like Kadamba flowers. And as everyone saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's dance, their hearts were filled with ecstatic love as they tumultuously called out the holy names of Lord Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
At that time, Prakashananda Saraswati and his leading followers came to Bindu Madhava temple. And he came and fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, right in front of everyone. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing?" And Lord Chaitanya tried to bow down to him. He said, "You are senior to me." He said, "You are a great scholar." He said, "You are so learned. You are a sannyasi. You are like my father. I should worship you." And Prakashananda Saraswati explained that actually I can understand that you are Vishnu himself. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I have come to surrender my life in the dust of your lotus feet. And then Prakashananda Saraswati began to glorify, according to different scriptural references, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. But when he called him Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't ever call me Vishnu. I am just your insignificant servant." This was the humility of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prakashananda Saraswati asked Lord Chaitanya at that time, "Please explain what is the true means by which I can understand Vedanta Sutra." And Lord Chaitanya propounded a beautiful teaching. He said, at the very beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was given darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time, Krishna spoke the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma explained those four verses to Narada. And Narada explained it to Vedavyas. And Vedavyas wrote all the Upanishads, all the Vedas, all the Puranas, but he was still not satisfied. Then he wrote the Vedanta Sutra, which is the commentary, the essence of all Vedic knowledge, of all the scriptures. But Lord Chaitanya said the Vedanta Sutra is very, very difficult to understand. But then Vedavyas himself, the author of Vedanta Sutra, on the order of Narada, wrote his own commentary in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he took the Chatushloki, those four verses, and expanded it into 18,000 verses to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead and establish unmotivated, uninterrupted devotion. If you want to understand the truth of the Vedas, if you want to understand the real conclusions of Vedanta Sutra, you must always carefully recite and study Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of the Lord's devotees. After this wonderful discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya told his devotees, Tapan Mishra, Sanatan Goswami, Paramananda, Chandrasekhar, and the Maharashtrian Brahman, he said, I have come to this city of Varanasi to sell my goods, the goods of love of God. But no one would buy them. No one would purchase them, however cheap I tried to give it. And therefore, I saw the distress of my devotees. So I decided, just to please you, my devotees, I would give out love of God freely, with no cost, to even the worst offenders. This is the proof of the very sacred principle that if we become dear to the Vaishnavas, and if the Vaishnavas, out of their sympathy and compassion, pray for us, then, and then only, do we get the special mercy of Lord Krishna. And Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar and the others explained to Lord Chaitanya that you have traveled all the way through the southern provinces of India, and you went through the western provinces of India, and you went all the way to Vrindavan and Prayag, and you transformed whoever you met into devotees. Now throughout the whole land people are chanting the holy names of Krishna. Everywhere except Varanasi. But out of your causeless mercy, you have transformed this whole city into a place where nothing is heard but the congregational chanting of Krishna's name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
While Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi, one person came to meet him. His name was Subhuti Rai. Subhuti Rai was from Bengal, and he was a very, very large, wealthy landowner. And he had a servant. And this servant he loved very dearly. And one time he had this servant helping to dig a lake, and he made a mistake. So Subhuti Rai hit him with a whip, just to teach him properly. Later on, when that servant grew older, he actually was given the position of the governor of the province under the Mughal rule. And he was married. And one day, his wife saw a whip mark on his back. She said, who did this to you? He said, Subhuti Rai. Many, many years ago, when I was very young, like a boy, she said, he must be killed. He said, how can I kill him? He was like my father. He loved me and I loved him. He helped me in so many ways. He taught me so much. It's only because of him that I have this high position. I cannot kill him. She said, he must be killed. Otherwise, I cannot stay with you. Attachment to woman. Very dangerous. So, he didn't know what to do. So they decided, we will take away his caste. And all of you know how sacred caste is to the Hindu community. We will take away his caste, and that is worse than death. And he'll still live. So this servant took some water from the pot of a malecha and sprinkled it on Subhuti Rai's head. Just a few drops. And then his caste was gone. Because in those days, the Hindu community was so caste conscious that if you were touched by the water from the pot of an outcast, you lose your caste and you're no longer considered a Hindu. You're considered an outcast. And Prabhupada explains, during the Mughal rule, sometimes in order to convert people, they would force meat in people's mouth. And the Brahmins, who were not Brahmins at all, they would say, if meat touched your mouth, then you are now a Muslim. You can never be a Hindu again. This is how millions of people were being converted, by force. And Aurangzeb, he would make taxes. Hindus have to pay high taxes, people of his religion no taxes, so the poor people were under such terrible oppression and persecution that they would convert just to keep from being beaten and imprisoned. Anyways, Subhuti Rai, he wasn't allowed in any temples anymore. He was rejected by the whole Hindu community. So he decided that he would just renounce the material world. And he left his family, he left everything, all of his property, and he went to Varanasi. And he asked one Brahmin, is there any way I can get my caste back and become again within the Hindu community? And this Brahmin told him, yes, there's one way. You have to drink boiling hot ghee. And by drinking this boiling hot ghee, you will die. But because you die with ghee in your stomach, you will take your next birth as a Hindu. So he wanted to see if there was any other alternatives. So he asked another Brahmin. And the other Brahmin said, actually, it's not so bad that someone sprinkled you. You don't have to drink boiling hot ghee and die. And then he was really confused, because every Brahmin was telling him something different. Anyways, in this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains how totally artificial, superficial, and ridiculous this whole attachment to caste consciousness is. And it still lingers so strong in India. People don't realize that everyone is an eternal soul. And the real dharma that unites us is devotion to Krishna. But people are so much on the superficial, artificial, bodily conception of life. And they discriminate each other in so many ways. And it is just totally materialistic. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to elevate people above this artificial state of consciousness. Actually, it is attachment to this traditional conception of artificial caste that has ruined Hinduism to such a degree. People don't care anything about qualifications, they only concern with birth. And according to the Shastra, birth means nothing without qualifications. If you're a Brahmin, you can't be employed. If you're a Brahmin, you have to understand Vedic knowledge, you have to be teaching Vedic knowledge, you have to be pure in your behavior, you have to be simple, you have to be charitable, you have to be completely sinless. That's a Brahmin. If you don't have that qualifications, it doesn't matter what birth you have. But people with no qualifications are proud that I'm Brahmin because they're wearing a thread worth about 5 paisa. And they're born in a family. Certainly being born in a family of people who are qualified is a very good opportunity to be trained. But if the training and the qualification isn't there, the whole conception of caste as it is in India today is just not authorized by any shastra. It is a concoction. And people so dearly identify themselves in this bodily conception. It may be controversial, but if you're actually going to be followers of Sanatana Dharma, if you're actually going to understand what the Vedas say and follow the Vedas, we have to understand the fallacy and the illusion of the current traditions of how India is being, people are living. The Varnashram Dharma is to train people to live according to certain qualities in life by which everyone together harmoniously can elevate themselves to the highest goal of pure devotional service. So Subhuti Rai was a victim, a terrible victim of this system, where he was an outcast because a drop of water touched his head. So he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Varanasi. And he went to Lord Chaitanya and he told him what happened. And Lord Chaitanya said, "There's no need to drink hot ghee." He said, "You just go to Vrindavan and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That's all. And you will not only become the best of the Hindus, you will become a perfect Vaishnava, which is higher than any material designation. You will achieve the ultimate perfection of life. So Subhuti Rai went to Vrindavan on Lord Chaitanya's order. And there he became although he was coming from such a high, wealthy background, he became such a humble servant that this Subhuti Rai, every day for some hours, he would just collect wood in the forest of Vrindavan, and he would bring that wood to Mathura, and he would sell it. And he would get like 5 paisa, 3 to 5 paisa. And he would come back, and he would deposit that money with a grocer. And then he would take just very, very less. He was living like a mendicant. He was in the renounced order. But whenever any devotees came from other places, he would take such nice care of them with whatever money he had. Sometimes devotees from Bengal would come. And Bengalis eat rice. And when they come to Vrindavan and they do madhukari, they only get rotis and chapatis. People of Vrindavan in those days didn't have rice. So in this way, the poor Bengalis would get indigestion. And Subhuti Rai, wanting to please them and help them, he would buy them dahi, yogurt, to soothe their indigestion. And then he would personally prepare for them rice, so they felt very nice. To his capacity, he served the devotees like this. And he would buy oil and massage their bodies, because Prabhupada says Bengalis like oil massages very much. So he would massage them and give them rice and give them yogurt, and he would serve them with whatever he had. And Srila Prabhupada explains that whether one is a grihastha or even a sannyasi, if he keeps something for the service of Krishna and service for Vaishnavas, that is accepted. So in this way, he would serve the devotees day and night with great, great humility and constantly chant the holy names as Lord Chaitanya instructed. When Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan, he met with Subhuti Rai. And Subhuti Rai personally, with such affection and devotion, brought Rupa Goswami through all the 12 forests of Vrindavan and explained the holy places to him and gave him wonderful parikrama. And then Rupa Goswami and his brother, Anupam, they told Subhuti Rai that, "We have to go find Sanatan Goswami. We heard he finally escaped from jail." We heard he may be in Varanasi. So they started traveling to Varanasi. And they went by the way along the bank of the Ganga. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami went to Vrindavan to meet Rupa Goswami by the public road. So when Sanatan Goswami arrived in Vrindavan, he met with Subhuti Rai, who he had known from before, and they embraced in great affection. And Subhuti Rai explained how Rupa Goswami has already gone looking for you. And Subhuti Rai showed Sanatan Goswami the holy places of Vrindavan that were at that time revealed. And then Sanatan Goswami began to find ancient maps and histories, and through his prayers to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya actually empowered him to discover the principal holy places of Krishna's pastimes and excavate them for all the world to come and worship. So while this was going on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Varanasi and he went through the Jharikhanda forest. And there, as previously, he met all of his animal friends. And they were all devotees by then. And there were beautiful kirtans in the Jharikhanda forest with the tigers and the lions and the deers and the rabbits and the porcupines and the insects and the elephants. Everyone. They were all so happy to see their Lord and Master, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and together they all danced in transcendental love, calling out Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the outskirts of Jagannath Puri, a place called Ataranala. And he told Balabhadra Bhattacharya to go inform his devotees that he has returned from his glorious journey to Vrindavan. And when the devotees heard this, they became so overwhelmed with transcendental joy. They all came running to meet Lord Chaitanya. And it was at the holy lake called Narendra Sarovar that Lord Chaitanya met his devotees. He first met Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, who were the godbrothers of his guru. And Lord Chaitanya, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bowed at their lotus feet just to show the world the etiquette of how one should treat the godbrothers of one's spiritual master. And then Gadadhar Pandit and Swarup Damodar Goswami and Haridas Thakur and the others, they all came and they all began to bow at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and Lord Chaitanya was lifting each and every one of them and embracing them, and they were bathing each other in their tears of love. And soon Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they came to greet the Lord, and they all went together to the temple of Lord Jagannath. After long, long duration of intense separation, they were all together again with their supreme, most beloved object of love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And before the beautiful deity of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to lead them in a beautiful kirtan, and they all danced in ecstasy, chanting the holy name. Along with his associates, Lord Chaitanya came to his own residence within the house of Kashi Mishra, the Gambhira. And there all of his devotees affectionately greeted him, and he most lovingly reciprocated with each of them. And then many devotees offered Lord Chaitanya to come to their home for prasad. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Everyone bring your prasad here. Today I will eat with all my devotees." So at the Gambhira, all Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates sat with the Lord as large quantities of prasad was served. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed wonderful pastimes with his eternal associates and loving devotees in Jagannath Puri. The Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begins at the time when Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas. He was at that time 24 years old. By the persuasion of his mother, Sachi Devi, instead of going to Vrindavan, he made his residence in Puri. Shortly after taking sannyas, he decided to search for his brother, Vishwarup, as well as give all the people Krishna Nam and Krishna Prema. So Lord Chaitanya performed his beautiful South Indian tour, traveling down from Jagannath Puri to Kanyakumari, and then up according to the western provinces through Bombay, Pandharpur, Nasik, and then he returned to Jagannath Puri. And there he remained for some time, and then he went on his journey through Jharikhanda to Vrindavan, Kurukshetra, Prayag, and then returned to Puri. This time of Lord Chaitanya's travels was 6 years, from the age of 24 to the age of 30. When he returned from his trip to Vrindavan, he never left Jagannath Puri again. For the next 18 years of his life, he was immersed amongst his devotees in Harinam Sankirtan. And this comprises the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. On this holy day of Chandan Yatra, we have completed narration of Madhya Lila. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that anyone who hears the wonderful narration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting and instructions to Sanatan Goswami with a sincere and attentive heart will certainly achieve loving devotional service to Krishna, the ultimate perfection of life. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. We owe our life eternally to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada for so mercifully and compassionately giving us the supreme treasure of the teachings and pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is our greatest desire to reciprocate by pleasing Him. And how to please Him? He made it very simple. Just accept these teachings. Follow the four regulative principles. Carefully read my books. Try to give others the chance to enter into the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, propagate the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.